Talk, entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison, Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? Coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong, Head Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink. Obviously, very happy to be back in the, what's our zip code? Oh, no, it's 727. It's the area code you go by. What's your area code where you're at?
I have no idea. I don't even know where I'm at, Randy.
Well, you know you're in Brazil. You may not know where in Brazil you're at.
I'm in Brazil. I'm in Victoria, Brazil. I have no idea what the area code or country code of where I am. I know that for calling, it's 55 is the country phone area code for international call, but I have no idea where I am.
Let me run down real quickly because really we are so stacked. It is unbelievable. We're going to start with, after the first break, we're going to speak to Michael Cardiglione, and he's only the drummer of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
I've heard of that band. They have a couple hit songs, right?
Yeah, a couple. I was just in the Jug, or really the Prime Time. I think that's what it was called. Dwayne Crespo, we're going to speak to about Slap. I experienced Slap 3. You know, and it's funny how I've always said, you know, where I've started covering the UFC since 1, and the first one I actually attended to cover was 11. So Steve Lene, producer to this program, you know what he's told everybody in Las Vegas?
No.
He's been covering Slap since Slap 3.
Oh, nice. Way to jump on the bandwagon, Steve Lene.
Finishing out to our number one, our weekly, or is it our weekly? Typically, I would say it is our weekly update on The Ultimate Fighter with Jason Knight. But since you're out of the country, you probably don't know. It'll be a combination of our weekly update with Jason Knight and our weekly interview with last night's winner.
Well, I know that Team Chandler is now 7-0. And there's one fight left of the opening round. So this will be the first time in tough history that there might be a clean sweep in round number one.
And something was brought up at the end of the program, and I don't know if you saw it. And Connor goes over to Dana and says, so what happens if I get swept? And Dana's like, I don't know. It's never happened before. And Connor's like, are we going to have a shakeup? Are we going to have a shakeup? And I'll tell you what, it's the second biggest issue on my mind right now. We won't talk about the first one. But the second one, I think that's BS. I think if Michael Chandler's team goes 8-0, Connor should have to sit there and watch the rest of the episodes, watch the ultimate finale, if he even attends, as a loser. Why are you going to send fighters from one team who's been kind of rolling with, and you know where I stand, not necessarily training with, but, you know, doing, you know, going through the motions, you know, with Team Red, why would you send four guys over to Connor because he wasn't able to pick the right squad?
Yeah, I mean, and they're talking about his boy going on, Brad being transferred over to Connor's team since they trained together already. So there's a lot of talk online about the strategy behind it all.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen, but let's continue running down the list. In the second hour, we're going to head to Las Vegas. Fighting best Harris ever, Walt Harris, Josh Parisian will be on. Then, of course, your most recent Hall of Famer, Jens Pulver. Then Jim Cummings. Like I said, he's only the voice of about 10,000 different characters, including Winnie the Pooh and, I believe, Tigger as well.
Unbelievable. That's so cool.
Third hour, Tyson Nam steps into the octagon on Saturday. We'll head up the road, speak to the president of BKFC, Dave Feldman, for BKFC 47. And rounding out our number three, Ashley Evans Smith, who also obviously gets into the octagon on Saturday. So before we run past, and we only have another couple minutes, International Fight Week, what a great time. From the Wednesday press conference, where we had some awesome conversations, along with Duplessis. And I'm going to go camp out at his house now that he won. We talked about grabbing a cot. Give me your thoughts about the after and, you know, your champion, Israel, and getting in the cage. And Dana said he was a little worried about it, but Israel promised nothing would happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dana's, you know, he's not a big fan of that after, you know, in the cage, you know, kind of antics. So I don't know. I think, maybe it's just me personally, but I mean, I know Duplessis is the next hot thing. I know he's the next big thing. I know there's a lot of hype behind that train. You know, we saw it with Darren Till. We saw it with other fighters. I think there's guys in front of him that deserve the chance. That should be, you know, he shouldn't be able to leapfrog, you know, all the way to the title shot from where he is now. And so I don't know. I think it's a little premature, but I understand that, you know, the buzz and the ticket sales and the fans' desire to see it is going to ultimately, you know, be what happens. But I think there's a lot of guys in front of them that are deserving, you know, of a shot.
All right. I don't want to, you know, put you in a corner, but before I ask you, so I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to Google it. Before I ask, who do you think does? Look at who he's beat his last four fights. You know, we don't even have to go into, you know, all of his UFC victories. But look at his last four. He beat Brad Tavares. He beat Darren Till. He beat Derek Brunson. And he beat the number one contender, Robert Whittaker. And he didn't just beat Robert Whittaker. I mean, he TKO'd him in the second. A second, a third, and a third. I don't know who you would, you know, because it was going to be Robert. So he took that spot from Robert. I believe he was ranked five. So what is he now? You would think maybe
he's ranked number one as a contender, right, according to UFC rankings. You know, you got Alex Peralta at number at two, Robert Whittaker three, Jared Cannonier. I mean, Jared's a great fighter.
But he already Vittori, but he already beat him. He already
Strickland.
Hold on a second. He already beat Jared, and Alex went up to heavyweight.
Yeah.
So, or light heavyweight. Why wouldn't it be him? And of course, I'm going to butcher it today, so I'm going to go the easy route like everybody else. I thought it was kind of funny them saying DDP, and obviously people are sticking up for Diamond Dallas Page and putting memes, and they have a meme now of Duplessis coming off the top ring rope and, you know, a whole bunch of cool, funny stuff. So it is what it is.
I mean, you've got Kevin Gastelum in the mix. You got Brendan Allen in the mix. You know, Derek Brunson, Paulo Acosta, Sean Strickland. I get it. I mean, you know, Duplessis is definitely earned a right to be up there, but I think some of the other guys should get at least a chance.
Again, you just said Derek Brunson. He just beat Brunson. So why would Brunson get the shot before the guy that beat him first? So we'll throw that out.
Right.
Darren Till was, you know, on that ladder up. He beat him. Robert Whittaker would have gotten the title fight for the third time, you know, had he won. So I'm okay with it. I mean, again, the guy's undefeated in the UFC.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand he's only had, what, one, two, three, four, five fights? Six fights. Six fights in the UFC. And he's undefeated in them. And he's beat guys with great records. So.
It's true.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. All right, let's go hit our first break. When we come back, a little Jacksonville music, and Michael has been around. He was one of the founding members of Damn Yankees. He's played with legendary singers and bands, but we're going to talk about his art expo that's down south and Leonard Skinner coming to town next week. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Stab Zone, and Bucked Up Energy Drink.
Mm-hmm. D'Lo Brown from NWA TNN. Right here, right now, you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Ready to take charge of your day? Bucked Up energy drinks are taking over the energy drink market. Find them at Walmart, Publix, GNC, and Vitamin Shop. Real energy and real focus. Get bucked up.
How's it going, everybody? It's Jordan with Curated Heat, one of the best vintage stores in St. Petersburg, Florida. We are located on 2356 Central Ave in downtown St. Petersburg. We have sold to many different type of people, including Super Bowl winning athletes, celebrities, influencers. We do everything from vintage clothing, Supreme, Hypewear, Kicks, everything you could want, man. So make sure to come stop on down and see us at Curated Heat. Make sure to contact us on our Instagram at Curated Heat or our whatnot at Curated Heat. Again, our Instagram at Curated Heat or whatnot at Curated Heat.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
This is Ron Duguay from formerly New York Rangers, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Up here in the Tampa Bay area, Matt, down there, where in Brazil?
I'm in Victoria, Brazil.
Well, you do what you do. I'll do what I do. And how excited is this? Let's welcome to the program Michael Cartellone. Michael, how are you? So we'll get back into the Duplessis and does he, doesn't he? I definitely think he does. I like that you think that he doesn't. So it'll just give it a nice conversation. We still have to talk about some of the taped interviews that we did at International Fight Week, including with Sean Strickland. I think we have Michael now. Michael Cartellone, are you there?
Yeah. How great was that with Sean Strickland? He has no filter. And if you don't want to know the answer, don't ask the question, right?
Right. Well, and that's what I said. And Steve was going to tell you, and since he took the headset off, I think I told him I love him twice. You know, his, you know, just his honesty and, you know, I told you, you got to tell me if you want to. All right, you're on now. Go ahead. Say whatever you were going to say.
It's on record. Randy loves
Sean Strickland. All right, we'll get back to Sean Strickland in a minute. Let's finally, after we dropped the ball a few times, let's welcome to the program Michael Cartellone. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We are doing fine. Thank you for your time, sir. Before we talk about the upcoming 50th anniversary tour, let's talk about what's going to happen next Thursday down south at the Wentworth Gallery inside the Hard Rock. Talk about your art expo.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. I am a lifelong painter. I was actually painting before I was drumming. And I have a relationship with Wentworth Gallery for 13 years now, actually. And next Thursday, the 20th, we are doing an exhibit of new works at the it's at the Hard Rock Seminole Casino Hotel. And I've done some new paintings. The main one that I want to talk about is a painting called 50, and it's actually a tribute to Lynyrd Skynyrd and the seven members that are on the first album, Pronounced. That, of course, came out 50 years ago. So it is a portrait of the seven guys. I'm very, very proud of this painting, and we have made 50 signed and numbered canvas reproductions of this that are available. And, you know, people can see it live in person at Wentworth Gallery, or they can actually just go on wentworthgallery.com and see the painting there. So that's one of the paintings. There's also a really cool Beatles painting, among some other things, and it's going to be a great exhibit.
I went on your website. I looked at some of the original artwork, and hopefully some of this will be down there as well. I want to get the carousel one for my granddaughter. I mean, it's perfect. She loves the carousel. The painting is outstanding. And there's a lot of things I still want to ask you about. How do people purchase if they can't get down, you know, to the Hard Rock in Hollywood?
Yes, they just go on wentworthgallery.com, and you can there see all of the locations and contact information. So, you know, people can reach out and acquire stuff right through the website.
I'm curious, Michael, how long does it take to make a painting, and how long does it take for you to decide, you know, I'm going to do a carousel this time, I'm going to do, you know, the New York one that you did? How much thought process goes into that?
Well, the thought process actually is generally a lot longer than the painting process. You know, in the instance of that carousel painting that you so kindly mentioned, the idea had popped into my head to paint a carousel and kind of freeze it in the middle of a very heavy winter day. So I spent a few years while the band was on tour taking photographs of every carousel I could find, just to find the right one that had the kind of the aged wooden horses, which is the look that I wanted. And I ended up finally finding the right carousel, and it's right here in New York City where I live, and it's in Central Park. But so, you know, the planning takes a long time, and I am not spontaneous at all when I paint. I do a lot of research, a lot of preparation, a lot of sketches, and by the time I start the painting, I can already see the finished thing in my head.
Wow. So that's a whole lot more than the stick figure paintings I do.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to see your stick figure paintings.
Now, you mentioned about the cold weather carousel. Is that because of your Cleveland, Ohio background?
I'm sure it has something to do with it, yes.
are you a fan of any other sports? Are you a fan of any of the Cleveland teams up there?
Well, I am a lifelong, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, Cleveland Indians fan, because I was born and raised on it. But I have to say that even though I'm not crazy about the name, the new team is doing a wonderful job, and they are working hard. And yesterday I was actually wearing a Guardians t-shirt. So I'm doing my part to support it. However, my closet is filled with Cleveland Indians stuff.
Before I ask the next thing about Jacksonville and Lynyrd Skynyrd, it sounds like you are a baseball fan. I was a bat boy for the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm struggling with some of these new rules. I like the time clock, but I don't like that you're not able to do the switch anymore, where you can put everybody on one side. And, you know, my theory is if you can't hit to the left side, that's your problem, not mine.
Well, truly. I have to say, I am enjoying the games running a little quicker. I think that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, we were just in Jacksonville a couple weeks ago, and we covered the UFC. And I went to the pastime, which I didn't know, and I'm sure many people didn't know, is now the Jug, and a few other of the band sites. Talk about, you know, being a member of such a legendary band that you've been a member of for a long time.
Yeah, 26 years now. It's just been wonderful. You know, this is a band that I was a fan of when I was younger, and I still am a fan. But, you know, I mean, to be completely honest, I was in seventh grade playing Freebird in a garage band. So, you know, fast forward a bunch of years, it is not lost on me to get to play these songs for a living. I mean, I'm very blessed. I'm very lucky. And it has been a wonderful stretch of time. I've made great friends and lost great friends. Gary Rossington, rest in peace. But, you know, I mean, to be a part of something that is truly iconic. I mean, you know, is there a more famous American song than Freebird? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
So Michael, along those lines, I'm currently in Brazil. I'm at my family's restaurant this afternoon, and all the waitresses and staff are wearing bandanas, like pulling out bandanas from boxes. And I said, "What's going on?" They're like, "Tomorrow's International Rock Day." And I told them that I was interviewing you today, that you were going to be on the program. And I played Freebird in the middle of a packed restaurant in Brazil, and the eruption and the excitement of the crowd. Like, so what's it like on a global scale? Obviously, we know Lynyrd Skynyrd is massive in the U.S., but what other countries do they love you just as much?
Well, you know, ironically, and you may already know this because you're there right now, we are playing in Sao Paulo in late September. I imagine it's been announced by now, but maybe it hasn't.
If not,
but
it has
I will. It has.
Oh, no, I yeah. know. I'm kidding.
So, yes, you know, the Skynyrd worldwide appeal is really amazing. You know, certainly the band has worked more here in the States than it has internationally. But when we do go abroad, it's really an incredible experience. And, you know, you see people that it almost seems like they never even expected they would see the band live. And you get that kind of electricity from the audience. And, you know, I mean, we've done some unbelievable shows, you know, 100,000 people at some of these outdoor European festivals. It's really, really exciting. And I personally love touring internationally because I'm Sicilian. I have a lot of family there, and it's great for me to be able to kind of turn the tour into a little vacation as well.
Michael, let me ask you this. We just went down, my producer does a lot with the Scorpions. We're both friends with Mickey D. We went down to Colombia. We went to the Kiss Scorpions concert. And I watched Mickey D on stage watching the drummers from Deep Purple and Eric Singer from Kiss. Talk about how you guys all are like one big happy family. You're watching each other, drummers, and enjoying that. I got a big kick out of watching them watch other drummers.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it is a really cool brotherhood and sisterhood of drummers. I don't know if other instrumentalists share this same respect and appreciation, but, you know, Eric Singer, you just mentioned, he and I are both from Cleveland, so okay. I've known him forever. And Ian Pace, one of my favorite drummers, Skynyrd and Deep Purple have worked together many, many times in the past. We opened for them on tour in Europe. They opened up for us here in the States. And, yeah, you know, the thing about drumming is you're always learning. There's always something cool that you haven't thought of that your friend did. And it's always very motivating to watch another drummer. No question about it.
So, Michael, along those lines, if the collaboration in the music scene doesn't happen between you guys, what about a collaboration in the art scene with you and Paul Stanley, as he's a massive art painter and gallery displayer as well?
Yeah, Paul is a wonderful painter. I've known Paul, geez, I met Paul back when we had Damn Yankees going, so I've known him a long time. And Paul was the one who made the introductions with myself and Wentworth Gallery, because Paul is a Wentworth Gallery artist as well. And that's kind of a fun idea. You know, I will tell you that many years ago, CNN did a really cool segment about musician painters. And they introduced a lot of us that maybe people weren't aware that dabbled in both. And they interviewed on camera Paul and then myself. So we were kind of the bookend interviews, and then they spoke about people like Ronnie Wood, who's a painter, Ringo Starr is a painter, Tony Bennett is a painter. There's a lot of musician painters out there.
Before we run out of time, let's talk about the tour itself, Lynyrd Skynyrd with ZZ Top, coming to South Florida on the 21st. You're coming here to Tampa next Friday, which we hope to be in attendance. My family that lives in Roswell, Georgia, is going next weekend to see you up in Atlanta. Talk about the tour itself, what obviously fans can expect. I'm sure they know, but let's let them know anyway, even more, what it's like to tour Lynyrd Skynyrd and what they can expect to see.
Well, this year they can expect to see quite the spectacle because, as I mentioned, this is the 50th anniversary, so we have created a wonderful new show. We have all new video that we're using with some really cool content, new staging, new lighting, new gear. The song list, we have pulled some songs, some favorites, you know, off of the old records and really changed the show up a lot. So, you know, even for the people that have seen the band many times before, this is going to be kind of a new experience for them. And the fact that we're sharing the stage with our old friend ZZ Top is going to make for a great summer. And we're really excited to kick it off in Florida next weekend.
We're going to end on this, and hopefully it doesn't make me look too stupid. So when we were in Jacksonville a couple weeks ago, I mean, I'm just an old guy. I listened to music in the 70s, in the 80s. I love music. I could probably sing very badly. I could probably sing a song and have no idea what the words were saying. So when we went to the Jug 2 weeks ago, and the lady working the bar came out and was explaining everything, that this is exactly where it happened, and this is where he stood when, you know, when he said, "Give me three steps." And it, honestly, at 60-some-plus years old, it has changed my life in listening to music. I've never looked that way, and now I do.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you're standing right in the place where the song, you know, inspiration came, that's pretty amazing. That's very, very cool. What a great experience.
Michael, thank you very much for your time. I know that we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, a bunch of really cool swag, and hopefully we'll see you next weekend here in Tampa.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys inviting me on.
Thank you, sir. Michael Cardioli, the drummer of Lynyrd Skynyrd. Let's hit a real quick break. When we come back, a little slap action with Dwayne Crespo. We'll be right back.
Hello. Hello again.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Retief Goosen from the PGA Tour, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
The hobby of trading cards is back and better than ever. Rhino Cards, specializing in sports cards, Star Wars, and MetaZoo, has just opened a second location in St. Petersburg at 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B, and would love you to stop by to buy, sell, or trade cards. Rhino Cards is a licensed Upper Deck Diamond dealer, as well as licensed Fanatics and Topps dealer. Get back in the hobby or add that special card at Rhino Cards, 406 11th Avenue North, Suite B in St. Pete, and 4548 South Suncoast Boulevard in Homosassa.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink, where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team, where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Does your garage door opener seem to have a mind of its own? Or is it a squeaky or noisy garage doors? Sounds like they need a simple tune-up. Call Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. That's M-O-R-S-E Boulevard Garage Doors at 727-522-5070. I'm so glad I did, and they fixed my garage door correctly on the very first visit. Moores Boulevard Garage Doors offers 24/7 service and no extra charge for nights or weekend emergency calls. Repair or replace your garage door with Moores Boulevard Garage Doors. Call them today at 727-522-5070.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Lawrence Taylor, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza. I'm here in the Tampa Bay area in St. Pete. Matt is down in Brazil. Where again in Brazil?
Victoria, Brazil, home city of Eric Silva, UFC fighter. Rodrigo Dam also came from this area. And from Coconut Creek area in Florida, Muay Thai coach Daniel Mendez, who trained Jacare and all the Brazilian fighters from there, Vitor Belfort, Gilbert Burns, all the guys down in South Florida.
Okay.
So I'm in fight capital of the world.
Okay, if you don't shut up, you're going to get slapped. And I mean that. So let's welcome our next guest, Dwayne Crespo. Dwayne, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate your time. So I was in the Apex last Friday. We've had a couple slap fighters on in the past, but watching it Friday, and we're going to talk about this in a minute. First and foremost, how did you get started in this?
I got started. They had these qualifiers on the last year in March. They wanted to test out the sport, and they asked a couple of professional fighters to see if they wanted to try out. I said, sure, and I had a blast when I tried it out for the first time.
How do you train for something like this? I mean, you know, we're an MMA show. You know, I know you train jiu-jitsu, you train this, you train that. You're training all aspects. How do you train your face to accept a slap?
I kept everything the same as MMA. It sounds like sparring. But when it comes to technique, it's a little bit different. I don't think damage training from slaps. I think that's because of it. I think just getting used to getting hit. Like, I've been doing Muay Thai for 8 years. So I'm kind of used to the fact that I'm going to get punched, elbow, knee. So the same concept, not to be scared when I'm out there, is going to make me successful.
Well, Matt's in Brazil. He'll be back next week. But if you ever need a face dummy, I'd love to send Matt to you, and you can put it on him.
That sounds fun to me.
Oh, God, Matt, sorry.
No, so I was on your Instagram, and I was looking at your workout icon. And it looks like your workout for training is a combo of, you know, CrossFit with like strongman movements. You know, is that your best strategy for power? Because it looks like most of the power comes from the hips, you know, when you shift your weight and obviously extending your arm. Is that your strategy to success?
Yeah, strongman definitely translates well. Explosive movements help a lot. But I like strongman because, like, there's that pain factor, and it gives you like that weird mental warfare. So it's very similar to the fact that you're about to get hit. So I do that as much as I can.
Let me ask a couple rules questions, because I asked Dave Lockett and some of the UFC people, and they haven't gotten back to me about it. One, who gets to decide who calls the coin flip? With the coin flip being so important, is there a coin flip to see who calls the coin flip, or how do you guys decide that?
So they do the coin toss a week before for betting. They do it in front of the commission, and the winner just has to go first.
Okay, so it's a coin flip to call the coin flip. The other thing that I noticed, which I find stranger than, you know, and a lot of people are still trying to get, do I like, do I not like, you know, the thing that I found strange is, and I don't know which fight it was in, where the guy was literally rubbing the other guy's face, rubbing his cheek to, like, decide where he's going to try to land the slap. What's up with that?
That's new to me. I think it's just him trying to find the right spot. Some people get in their own head, man. So that's new to me.
I thought that was the strangest thing, to be honest. And I haven't given my take yet. And I went to great detail, and I lost a great subject, which we won't go into on the air, by going on Friday. And I'll tell you this, I did enjoy it more than I anticipated.
It's a blast. Like, I remember when they told me to try out, I thought it was going to be a gimmick. I thought it was going to be, like, the worst thing ever. But I came in with an open mind, and it feels just like MMA to me. That walk down the tunnel is the same. The way they call my name on the stage is the same. The way I want to get my hand raised, everything feels the same. So, like, I don't feel like a gimmick, so I'm happy to do the sport.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Before we run out of time, two things I want to get to. What did you do in the military, and what branch were you in?
I was in the Marine Corps and 7-Eleven. I stationed an airfield, so go overseas and build airfields.
All right, so I don't know if you know this, Matt, but I almost got myself killed on Friday. So we had the heavyweight champ on and the middleweight champ on. And I am a veteran as well. I was in the Navy. And as you know, Dwayne, you kind of make fun of each other. You know, the branches make fun of each other. And I always tell the story, like, I can make fun of you, you can make fun of me, but, you know, Matt, who's never been in the military, can't make fun of either one of us, correct?
Thanks.
Okay. So Dave Lockett tells me that the middleweight champ was in the Army. So I kind of do a little jab. You know, it's fun. It's military. It's fun. Exactly. So you know exactly what happened. So I made fun of the Army, and then he said, I'm a Marine. And I called Lockett over. I said, are you trying to get me killed? What are you doing? He's like, it really was funny, and it all came across funny, but I would never call a Marine Army or Navy. I'll still make fun of you guys, but I wouldn't call you a different branch. So I thought you'd get a kick out of it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's just great. That's funny.
It was funny. As I was sitting with the Slap News guys, and I was sitting with my co-host Jimmy Denning, and we were talking, and you came out, the Slap News guys told me a little bit more about you and about your background. And many people really have no idea what being autistic is, and I hope it's okay that I'm bringing this up, because I think it's important for people, A, to know, and B, you know, people look at, my daughter is a autistic therapist in Georgia and works with nonverbal patients. And I just think it's important for people to, A, know what autism even is, and B, that it's not a handicap, that you can make anything out of anything, and you're showing not only the autistic community, but the whole community, take one step in front of the other and move on.
Yeah, I remember, so on the Road to the Title show, I wasn't going to mention the fact that I have autism, but someone told me that there's people out there that don't even know that you could be in sports and be autistic. And so now I just run by it.
Yeah, and I agree with that. You know, again, I think it's a great story, and not that anyone, and since you even didn't want to bring up, it's not like you're looking for anything or looking for sympathy, or and you don't need it and want it. I think it's important that people know that, you know, that autistic people, children, adults, you know, that they can live a good, normal life. They can go and compete in sports, and in not just sports, in mixed martial arts, and now in this slap. I think it was very important, and that's why I asked Dave Lockett if we could get you on.
Yeah, like I said, it's not something I ever thought about, but someone made a point that there are people that look up to me, and I've gotten messages on Instagram saying I'm inspirational. And it's not something I think about, but if I have to be an idol, I'll happily be so.
Matt, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. No, okay. I think I just want to piggyback off of that. I think it's 100% right about the autism. You know, to be able to be fully functioning and to thrive and be at the top level and champion and serve this great country, your story needs to be out there, man. There's so many families that just need hope and inspiration when they have young children and their future's uncertain. Just like Matt Hamill for the deaf community. Went on to win the Ultimate Fighter and the only win over John Jones, the GOAT. I think it's important that those stories get out there for the next generation. So kudos to you for bringing it out and letting your story be known, my brother.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I agree now. It's not something I thought about, but I truly agree now.
Dwayne, before we let you go, when are you going to get back? And what is it called? The podium? What is that whole area called?
I've been calling the stage.
Okay, the stage. All right, so when are you next planning on being on the stage?
Hopefully right away. They have an event August 9th. Hopefully I get to fight for the title on that one, and that would be incredible.
There you have it. Dwayne, thank you very much for your time. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a box of Bucked Up energy drinks for coming on. And let's stay in touch. Anything you need from us, we'd love to get you not only on more, but I'd like to get you maybe hooked up with my daughter up there in Atlanta, and maybe the two of you guys can do something together.
Oh, that'd be incredible, man. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Dwayne Crespo, slap, and I am so glad that I went to it. Let's hit a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to do two segments. That's right, two segments at the same time.
It's Joel Romero here and the Knockout Radio.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza. Tour de Pizza, visit us online at tourdepizza.com. And remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, it's Sebastian Bourdais, driver of the number 14 AJ Foyt Racing Chevrolet, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back up to you live from the Tournament of Pizza here in St. Pete. Matt down there in Brazil, and this is the first time that we get to do two. That's right, two. That's right, two segments at the exact same time. As everyone knows, we do a weekly segment with our Ultimate Fighter correspondent, Jason Knight. And then we also do a weekly segment with last night's winner, who is also Jason Knight. Let's welcome back to the program, Jason Knight. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I was just taking my little break from work, so kind of happy you called.
All right, well, we'll get right into it. But before we do, you've said that every week, taking a break from work. Where do you work? What's the name of the company, and what are you doing?
I work at a company called International Welding and Fabrication in Moss Point, Mississippi. And, you know, we fabricate pipe, we fabricate steel, we weld it, you know, just get stuff ready to send out to these big plants and stuff around here. And, you know, these guys are awesome for letting me do my weekly interview and, you know, making sure that I put my career above my job, you know.
Well, and we would like to thank them as well. So we'll get right into it so we don't hold you up too much. Where are, and we're only talking up through last night. Where are we in filming?
I think we're on week two. Week two. I fought on week two. And we're at the point where Jason Knight beats up Landon Quinones.
Yes, we are. Leading up to, as you got ready to leave the house to, you know, and I know the fight that we talked about last week was at the same time. What's the tension like before that, as you are leaving to go to the Apex? What's the tension like after last week? And we talked about it, how it looked one way and then it changed. And then how was the tension during your fight?
Man, my guys, we were all, you know, just knowing that we were just two fights away from, you know, running the table for the first time ever, and we're all fully expecting that to happen. You know, we thought for sure that this is it. We're going to knock out these last two fights, and it's going to be an all-Chandler semifinal, and, you know, everybody on my team, we're on cloud nine. The other team, you could kind of see the fear setting in. Well, not really so much fear. I don't think they were scared of us, but they were scared of the possibility of, you know, going 0-8. And, you know, we were all excited about the possibility of, you know, going 8-0. And then on fight day, you know, it's just calm, cool, collected, ready to go out there and do some work. I was just happy that it was finally my time. This is something, at this point, I put in right around 8 to 10 weeks of training. And, you know, I'm finally getting to go out here and, you know, display what all I've been working on.
Matt, you there?
Yeah,
Yes, sir.
So Jason, over the weekend, we just saw Moreno lost the belt to Pandoja. Do you see a lot of similarities in the fact that he was driving for Uber just a few months ago, that he's still working and making his dream his reality, and now he is the champion? Do you take a lot away from that as inspiration?
Yeah, man, it's inspirational for sure. You know, I have always, you know, kind of somewhat stayed working even whenever I was getting ready for fights, because a lot of people think that, you know, if you make it somewhere that all of a sudden you're rich, but that's not the case. You know, you make a good paycheck, but if you don't stay working consistently, that money just disappears. And, you know, that's one of the mistakes I made the first time when I got in the UFC. I thought that the money that was coming in, you know, each, you know, 3 or 4 months, 5 months, however long it would be between fights, I thought that would be enough to hold me over. But, you know, whenever you try to spend money like you got, you know, a lot in the bank or something, it disappears quickly. So, you know, that's kind of the game plan now, is to stay working while trying to get to the top. And to see that someone else made that happen, you know, that's all the more drive for me. I've got to keep in the gym, even though I'm working, go hit the gym afterwards. And I think that the sky's the limit.
Again, and I want to emphasize, we are only talking up through the end of last night's episode. And there was a comment made at the end of last night's episode that kind of has me pissed. I'm sure that we'll see more next week, and I don't know if it's the time to ask or ask the question. And if it's not, we can move on. At the end of last night's episode, Connor goes over to Dana and says, "Are we going to shuffle things up if we get shut out?" If we lose next week, it'll be 0-8 for them, 8-0 for you. A, did you know that he said that before you saw it last night? And is it too early, you know, to even discuss that?
I did not know that, you know, he had said that. But at this point in the game, we're all kind of thinking, hey, you know, if we go 8-0, are they going to try to, you know, make us go to the other team, you know, so that way we're not training with the guys that we're supposed to be fighting in a week? And as far as my whole team, everyone except for Brad Katona was totally against that. You know, no matter what, we were not switching to Team McGregor, and we were not going to put on that blue jersey no matter what. And, you know, Brad, he was kind of on the fence about it. Of course, I understand that because his home coaches were right there on the other team. So, you know, I don't really blame him for that. But as far as the rest of the Red team, there was no way in the world that we were going over to Team McGregor.
Okay, and we'll discuss it more, you know, next week and weeks coming up. But that was my thing is, you know, here you pick the team. You're now 7-0-7. Why would somebody, you know, who's on Team Chandler and bonded, and that's one of my next questions too, is Team Chandler really as tight as it appears to be, whether it's from the coaching all the way down? And that's why I was upset and even tweeted after the show. You know, if that's the case, Bader and a coach can take one side and, you know, Chandler and a coach can take the other. You've been training together. What difference does it make?
Yeah, man, that's the way our whole team looked at it. We already know what the other guy has to offer. We've been training with him for, you know, this whole time, and we know kind of what to expect. Our opponent already knows what to expect, you know, no matter who it's going to be. They kind of already know a little bit about us. They've trained with us. They know what to look for. And, you know, switching to the other team is not going to change that. You know, we all said that we will train side by side. I'll train with the person I'm fighting up until the day of the fight. That's perfectly fine, but there's no way that we're ever switching, you know, to that blue jersey for two reasons. You know, obviously, nobody really cared to be on Connor's team because we heard a lot of bad from, you know, his teammates, you know, the guys that were supposed to be getting coached by him. He was lacking in the department of coaching. He was, you know, letting his team handle that for him for the most part. And secondly, that blue jersey was just ugly as can be. You know, the red jersey was just way cooler, so we definitely didn't want to have to put that ugly jersey on.
That's awesome. Final question for you. Was it different walking from the back of the Apex, you know, to the cage than any other fight or, you know, whether bare knuckle, whether MMA, or was it different?
It was definitely different, just mainly because it was just so much quieter. You know, you had so much more time to just be in your own head and think. You know, whenever you walk out to a big crowd, it's kind of overwhelming, but at the same time, it's kind of like fuel to feed the fire, I guess you could say. Whenever you're in that quiet, it's almost breathtaking because, you know, there's nobody there but you. All you can hear is your thoughts. You don't have all the roar of the crowd to drown out, you know, the thoughts inside of your head. So yeah, it felt like it was more pressure to me in that quiet situation than, you know, the roar of the crowd.
Very good stuff. Jason, as always, thank you for your time each and every week. Thank you for doing double duty today. Congrats on last night. Quick, and it looked fairly easy, and I can't wait for the next one.
Yes, sir. Real quick before you go, the only thing I didn't like about last night's episode, I said a prayer with my opponent at weigh-ins, and they didn't play that. Hopefully next time they'll get it right and they'll make sure that, you know, that part of the episode is actually on there. You have a good day. I appreciate you having me on the show.
As well, that is Jason Knight. I did forget to bring that up as Jason and I talked about it. And that's why reality shows, and that's why every fighter, including Michael Chandler, does a segment after to get out things that coulda, shoulda, woulda. All right, we're at the top of the hour. 1 hour to go, 2 hours, or 1 hour down, 2 hours to go.
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong, Staff Zone, and Bucked Up Energy.
Wonder I can think at all, and my lack of education has.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Kamaru Usman, aka the Nigerian Nightmare, here, and you are listening to Knockout Radio.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.